For the Medicine Ball Caravan here on KRFES, Lafayette Lake Charles. I'm Cecil Doyle. Have an hour of great sounds up ahead and a big show coming to town this evening. We've got Alejandro Escovedo and Chuck Prophet making their way, teaming up for a performance at Vermilionville's Performance Center. That kicks off at 7 o'clock tonight. We've got Chuck Prophet in the studio. We're going to be listening to some live in-studio performance and talking a little bit about what's been happening with Chuck. And we're going to kind of get ready for tonight's big concert. We're going to start off with music by one of Alejandro's, I guess, earlier groups, going back to 1980, the West Coast outfit known as the Nuns. Let's listen to a couple of tracks from their debut album. This is Savage as we kick off this caravan.
In the jungle of the night, you
Alejandro Escovedo here on the Medicine Ball Caravan on KRVS Lafayette Lake Charles. And it's 9 minutes past the hour. Weather for the listening area, sunny. Another beautiful one on the outside. A high today of about 69. West winds at 5 miles per hour. Clear again this evening with a low of about 51. And on Wednesday, another nice day. Sunny with a high of 78. Currently, it's 59. Almost 60 degrees here on the campus of UL Lafayette. With me in the studio, I'm proud to have Chuck Prophet. Chuck is again performing with Alejandro Escovedo this evening at Vermilionville's Performance Center. That does kick off at 7 o'clock. There are still a few tickets available. You can check out the website, vermilionville.org. And welcome, Chuck.
Hi, thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Proud to have you, man. Been playing your records for years, and World Cafe airs just before this show every weekday morning. So between the World Cafe and this one, you know, you and Alejandro get a lot of airplay, so it's great to finally meet you face-to-face, man. Is this your first time in this area, Lafayette?
Have you? Well, we've been in St. Francisville a couple times and played a gig there called Magnolias.
Mm-hmm.
And but I believe this is our first Lafayette gig, sure.
Yeah, I'm looking forward. Now, you two have collaborated for some time. In fact, did I just understand you wrote this last song we just heard by Alejandro?
Yeah.
That was your
yeah.
tune? It sounded
yeah.
like one of yours. So when did the two of you first hook up? First up, let me get a little bit of background information from you. You're a West Coast guy, right?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Born and bred, California. You know, I grew up in Southern California. I moved up to San Francisco, you know, to major in financial aid in college and just kind of stayed there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I got there at a time when the punk rock was really exploding and, you know, San Francisco was just kind of an education for me, really, the music and the poetry and, I don't know, you know, film and all that stuff. And
right, it was really going at that time. What was, what groups did you play in that time?
Well, I was in a lot of groups, but then I was in a group called Green on Red.
Right, probably the one we'd most
yeah, know. Yeah, and we made, you know, 10 records or so, and then I think that was when I originally met Alejandro. I think Green on Red and the True Believers played a show at the Lingerie Club in Hollywood, and you know, we kind of hit it off, and we crossed paths over the years, and Al and I did a couple little tours together in the mid-aughts, and he said, you know, he said, maybe we can get together and write some songs. And I said, sure, we can try. So we got together in Austin at his place, and we spent like a year going back and forth from my little shoebox-like office space in San Francisco to his place in Wimberley, Texas. And, you know, we wrote a bunch of songs, and we continued to write. After that, so yeah, I mean, we're just I can't really explain it other than I know that when we get in a room together, we never really run out of things to talk about, and it's just kind of like, you know, putting two jumper cables together.
Well, both of you, I mean, like I say, starting around that time and playing in different groups, like I say, the punk bands of that time. Alejandro, I guess, started some 20 years ago doing solo releases. How long have you been recording, you know, under Chuck Prophet?
Well, I think in about 1990, I put out a record called Brother Aldo on a label out of England called Fire Records. And it was distributed through another label here. And, you know, the interesting thing was that I didn't really tour behind that record, but I did get a call from that label, and they told us that they could never really understand it, but they were getting a lot of reorders from Austin, Texas. Mm. And years later, Alejandro told me when he saw that record, he said, yeah, he said, I think I deserve a cut of this record. I sold so many of these when I worked at Waterloo Records in Austin. And I think that sort of solved that mystery. So, yeah.
So, yeah. So
we started making them around the same time, I think.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. So when did you two, I mean, is it just the last two albums, Alejandro?
Last three albums.
Three albums, you know, basically.
Real Animal we wrote together top to bottom.
Right.
And I played guitar on it, and then the next two records, you know, we wrote a bunch of stuff together, but not all the records.
Now, how did you guys first hook up with Tony Visconti? Those of you who don't know, this guy's like a legendary record producer. Did the Bowie records back in the 70s,
and T-Rex,
all those, you know, classic albums.
Thin Lizzy, all kinds of crazy stuff. Well, Alejandro and I went out to the south of France to meet with another producer. And did some pre-production, and that whole thing just kind of went south. And Tony Visconti's name was in the mix, and you know, Al jumped at it. So there you have it.
There you have it. And like,
we recorded The Real Animal in Lexington, Kentucky, which was kind of cool because it was one of the first cities that, you know, in America that that I continued to return to. And it was also one of the first gigs for Alejandro. It's just a kind of a pocket there. So it was cool that we ended up recording that record there.
Right. Well, yeah, you guys hooked up there. So when did you just exactly start and Nick's that question. Basically, so you guys worked on this one. Yeah, in Kentucky, I mean, did you guys have to stay there in that particular place? I mean, did you guys just hole up, camp out in Kentucky for a certain amount of weeks to come out with an album? I mean, how did...
Well, I went out there, and Al was on tour, and so he and his band, they just drove up to the studio and loaded the gear in, and they put the mics around it. I came in from San Francisco, and must have been there, you know, a week or something, and we just bashed out the songs, you know.
All right. Well, you've got also an album that came out probably.
We might have do we have a phone call or something?
It's possible. We do have a phone call. Okay, let's see. Right here on the phone line, we do have, if I might be correct, we should have Alejandro right there. Alejandro, yeah. You're there.
Good. Is this Cecil?
Yes, this is Cecil, and Chuck's on my side. Morning.
My man.
What's happening?
Morning. We were just talking about you, man.
Yeah?
Yeah, some good stuff, you know.
Oh, good. Well, good. At least a little bit, you know.
So
what's going on?
Not too much. We're just sitting here in the studio, kind of getting ready for tonight's performance. I assume you're en route here to Lafayette?
Yeah, we're on our way to Lafayette. We just got started a couple hours ago. So.
Yeah, I was just...
We got a little bit to go.
Yeah, I was just talking to Chuck about how you guys first connected and started recording together, writing material, and of course starting collaborating on albums. What are your memories of when you first hooked up with Chuck? When did you first meet him? I mean, what are your collections about that time?
My memory tells me that it was at the Club Lingerie in Hollywood and Green on Red. And I thought it was Rank and File, but Chuck says it's True Believers. So it must have been very early True Believers. And Green on Red was playing, and Chuck had just gotten in the band. He hadn't been in the band that long. He was young, beautiful blonde kid playing the hell out of a Telecaster. And I don't know, you know, I just knew he was great, and I loved the band. And we kind of struck up a friendship from there, and it's been a good ride ever since.
Oh, it certainly has. I was just talking about the new album. We were playing something from Big Station a minute ago. In fact, even before that, I was throwing on a couple of tracks from the debut album by the Nuns. I hadn't realized you were part of that band. I had to go to the back of my closet, pull that record out, and say, "Yeah, it's
all that, man."
Now, the funny thing.
You should bury that one, I think. Yeah.
Well, the funny thing about that record, as I was just pointing out, on the back of the album, everyone is pretty much listed. You know, you have the members of the group and what they play, but then they have so-and-so, Jennifer Miro, vocals, blah, 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 and Alejandro Escovedo, and they don't even say what you do on the record.
Yeah, well, you know, that's because I didn't even play on that record.
Oh, really? Well, that would make sense then. So why was your name included?
Because Posh Boy and the Nuns thought it was a good idea, I guess.
Well, you're there in spirit.
Yeah, you know, you remember that, Chuck. Yeah. They just did what they wanted to do, you know, it didn't matter.
Yeah, you didn't see the cover till it was in the stores.
Yeah, I know, man. It was weird. And like, so suddenly here I am on this Nuns record, and I never played on it, you know, so I never...
Well, you wrote a song. I think I played a song, the Media Control. You were a co-writer on that one.
Yeah.
That's the one we played. So anyway, we were just talking about when you guys had recorded. It was set up in Kentucky. Where was this? Big Station recorded?
Big Station was recorded in Austin at Jimino's studio, called Public Hi-Fi.
Mm.
It's a cool place. I mean, you know, Jimino's the drummer in Spoon. And they set up this studio there, and it's really a great, great room. I love it. You know, it's very comfortable.
Well, it's a great record, and we were just talking about, you know, how you guys had originally hooked up with Tony Visconti. How many records has he worked on with you so far? Is this your second or third or more than that?
It's the third record now.
Yeah. Great production. I mean, is this your first time playing in this area? I can't recall you playing in this Lafayette, Baton Rouge area, to my knowledge. Is this your first time?
I played Baton Rouge quite a bit.
Oh, really?
Lafayette, not as much, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to it, man, especially to see Chuck again. You know,
well, I'm that's something.
You know, the Giants. We're going to celebrate the Giants' victory. Is what we're going to do, really?
Yeah, we're going to bring a broom, brother, and wave that broom in the air because we swept it. Did we? Did we sweep it or what?
Oh, it's so beautiful, man. That was unbelievable. I love that.
Now,
you know what, Cecil? You know, one thing that I wanted to talk about, if we could, is that Chuck and I record every single song that we write together. You know, and we've done everything from, like, I remember there was one day in Austin where it was freezing and the town had shut down, and we found some kid that had a little studio in their house and went out there and recorded, you know. So we've got these great copies of every song that we've written together, you know. And some that haven't been recorded, I think. Right, Chuck?
Yeah, well, you know, if we wrote a song in a hotel room or something, we would typically be so we'd be so jacked up that we want to record it right then and there, and we just get out the Yellow Pages. And and we found some interesting studios.
Yes. So we've got some beautiful, and also, you know, all the great stuff we did in San Francisco with Jim, you know. So we've got some really cool stuff, you know.
Well, we're looking forward to the performance tonight. So basically, I was really excited when I was hearing that, you know, Alejandro and his band would be playing. And then all of a sudden, you know, a couple of weeks later, I get thrown this thing that Chuck Prophet is going to be part of the show. Now, I assume, Chuck, you're going to open up the program, do some solo things?
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
And then I would imagine before the night's over, you're going to end up on with a set with these guys?
Anybody's guess.
You never know. Show up. It kicks off at 7 o'clock this evening at Vermilionville's Performance Center. And so I'm just really excited about this show. I mean, you know, we've been really getting some great acts coming into town, and, you know, I'm super pumped about this one. So Alejandro, you're still living in Austin. You're basically from the Austin area, or at least Southern Texas, right?
I was born in San Antonio, but I only lived there till I was about 8 years old, and really grew up in Southern California, Huntington Beach, in Orange County, really.
Right. Now, of course, your family, just about your whole family, has played. You know, don't you have a brother, and your nieces, Sheila E. Those of you who may not know that. Did you have a relative that was in Santana or something like that?
My brother Pete and Coke were in Santana.
They were the original Santana, the one that, you know, the
not the original, but like, you know, it's like the second album or third album, I think.
I see.
Coke was on, and then Pete came on, and Pete lasted all the way to like Caravanserai and those records.
Wow.
So, yeah. So he played with them for quite a while.
So when you first moved to San Francisco, was it Southern California, San Diego, L.A.? Where were you exactly?
I was in Huntington Beach.
Oh, Huntington Beach.
Huntington Beach. And Chuck lived in Orange County, too.
Yeah, we lived about probably 20 miles apart.
Actually, Chuck used to surf Huntington Beach all the time. So, you know, we know the same area. That's what was so great about riding Real Animal together was that, you know, we both knew the terrain perfectly, you know. Although I'm older than Chuck, and so I had some different memories, but, you know, it was all the same vibe.
Now, Huntington Beach, I've always known it was a big surfer town, but it was also kind of a rough town. It seems like I might have heard that. I don't know for sure. I'm just thinking of the days of Black Flag and all that coming from that area. It sort of had a rep as being like sort of a tough community, you know. So I don't know how it was for you guys, but anyway, obviously it worked for you. It worked for you to where you stayed there and at least started playing music. And when did you move up to the San Francisco area? And obviously, is that where you ran into Chuck, that area, San Francisco?
No, I didn't run into Chuck till after that. But I moved to San Francisco in 75, it was, I think.
Mm.
And then I left in 78 and moved to New York.
Wow.
And then I moved to Austin. So I hopped around for a while.
And as I was saying, you've been recording solo albums now for some 20 years, and I would imagine most of those were done in Texas.
Yeah, most of them were from Austin. Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, we're looking so forward to having both of you perform this evening, and I don't want to keep you on the line too long, but look. This is going to be a big thing. Don't forget, there are a few tickets left. Vermilionville's Performance Center. You can purchase them online at vermilionville.org. There's still a handful of tickets left. I think Frank says there are still some in the front and some towards the back. But there are tickets left. So a great opportunity to see a great show this evening. And Alejandro, thanks so much for giving us a call. And we're definitely going to see you tonight,
man.
See you later, brother.
See you later, brother. I'll see you soon.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Chuck, let's talk a little bit about Temple Beautiful. Now, I guess you could call this more or less a sort of a reflection on San Francisco.
Absolutely, yeah.
Both the good and the bad, I guess, you know?
Yeah, well, I had been writing some songs with my friend Kurt, and we just one day, you know, we just were sitting there and you know, we'd had a song about Willie Mays and the Castro Halloween and the Mitchell Brothers. And, you know, it just sort of floated to the top that, well, this was like a San Francisco record. And then from there, mm-hmm. we continued to write songs and we just kind of followed the clues. And it was exciting. It was fun to get to tap into that.
Well, I mean, the subjects are rather varied. But, of course, you know, I mean, San Francisco is a great city. There's so much to write about. You mentioned the one about Willie Mays is up at bat, and of course San Francisco just winning the World Series and all that stuff. What was the deal about Willie Mays?
One of the things that made writing this record interesting was that, you know, we wrote it in a place that didn't have any Wi-Fi, so as we were writing, we were making things up, and we didn't have a fact checker on our staff, and we didn't really. We weren't able to really check things like that. So we considered a Google-free or Wikipedia-pure record. And, we ended up leaning on the more mythological version of events. And but we knew that any good myth would need a hero. And so there was one person we thought everybody would agree on, and that's Willie Mays. So, you know, interestingly enough, my studio space is only a few blocks from the ballpark. So mm-hmm. we walked down there. We stood under the statue. We just kind of looked at it and said, wow, he's a giant, you know. And we ended up writing a song for him. And we don't really know anything about, you know, he's a very private guy, but he stood up to racism and injustice when he felt the time was right too. And he still quietly lives in South San Francisco. There's a new book about him that's pretty thick. And but all we really know about Willie Mays was that he was always swinging for the fence. So we wrote him a song. We put a bunch of characters in the song with him that he probably wouldn't want to be caught dead with in real life. But that's it's not journalism; it's rock and roll. So that's what we did.
That's what we did. Well, you brought your guitar. You feel like hitting that one for us?
Sure, sure. Let's see if my voice is warmed up here.
Yeah, it is early morning.
Yeah, okay. I hear the church bells ring. Willie Mays is up at bat. Hear the crowd go wild. All he did was touch his hat. Meanwhile, Carol Doda stood up and said, I won't be ignored. She showed him everything she had. Then she showed him all a little more. Jim Jones in his temple on Gary Street, right next to young Bill Graham. Jim, he walked right up to Bill, clicked his heels, said, I think you know who I am. Meanwhile, Bugs and Daffy Duck were hitching up the coast to Pismo Beach. While over in in the Tonkin Gulf. The Navy took a hit, or so it seemed. It's 3 on and 2 out under the lights. Nobody knows who'll make it home tonight. Laughing Sal said, please don't go, don't leave me here alone to make a stand. She looked so faded in the twilight, down where the breakers meet the sand. Someone said to Laughing Sal, hey Laughing Sal, just what you laughing at? She said, I'm only laughing at myself. Keep it down, Willie's up at bat. It's 3 on and 2 out under the lights. Nobody knows who'll make it home tonight. That was all so long ago, there's always something else to be against. And the only thing we know for sure is Willie always did swing for the fence. That's right, it's 3 on and 2 out under the lights. Nobody knows who'll make it home tonight. It's 3 on and 2 out under the lights. Nobody knows who'll make it home tonight. Nobody knows who'll make it home tonight.
Great song. Chuck Prophet here in KRVS Cypress Lake Studios with a tune about Willie Mays. Willie Mays is up at bat. And where else are you going to hear a song that mentions Carol Doda, Bill Graham, and Jim Jones all in the practically the same stanza? Yeah, great characters. Of course, there's so many things you could say about San Francisco. Carol Doda, wasn't she like the first... I don't know. I think she was the first really big superstar kind of topless dancer, I guess.
Yeah, she may have invented it, you know.
She probably did.
She invented topless dancing, bottomless as well. And, yeah, legend. And still around. I tried to get her to be in a video with me, and we talked for a little bit.
She's still around, okay.
She said, I might have to talk to my lawyer about this. I said, well, yeah. Do you want to do that? She said, honey, I don't think he's going to like it.
Come around, talk to the lawyer. Yeah, I always see Carol Doda in the movie Head. Whenever I see the Monkees movie Head, she has that scene in the boxing ring. So that's my most famous thing.
She's cool.
I'm sure she is. Any other songs where we mentioned like some great San Francisco landmarks? Any songs about the Coit Tower?
Not really. I mean, we didn't really go tourist bureau with it.
No,
it's
totally like, you know, basically just the spirit of the city and its characters and all that. Tell us about the song Temple Beautiful.
Temple Beautiful was a gig on 1839 Geary Street next to Bill Graham's Fillmore.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in an old synagogue. It was called the People's Temple. And at one time, I think it had been either Jim Jones's People's Temple or next door to, you know, Jim Jones's church,
right,
where all those awful things happen. And I don't know, it was pretty decrepit and run down when some punk rock enterprising promoters started putting on shows there.
Right.
And so, you know, when I was about 15 years old, me and a couple of my friends and borrowed somebody's mom's Toyota, and we drove out there and saw a gig with like 5 bands Black Flag, if they were there. The Mentors were definitely there that night. I saw Wall of Voodoo, like, before they had a record out.
Uh-huh.
Very interesting band.
Yeah.
You know, surf guitar and a drum machine and trash can lids. And
yeah, I saw them here after their first album was
out. Yeah, and, you know, at 3 in the morning, the Flamin' Groovies came on. And, you know, the guitar player, I stood right there. The guitar player looked right at me. I looked right back at him, you know, and... all these years later, I still see him around, and I know it was just a big night for. I mean, it was just a bunch of people really laying it on the line, you know, expressing themselves. And then prior to that, rock music had been guys that lived up in castles or whatever. I don't know, you know, it just seemed kind of unobtainable.
Yeah,
and so that really kind of, I don't know, was just something that sparked my imagination. And I remember driving home thinking, like, you know, telling my friends, like, you know, I think we could do this, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and so you
whatever
did.
It is, yeah, I think we could do it. yeah, you know, and I mentioned that. And I thought, well, that'd be a great title, you know, and Temple Beautiful, and boy, that's a great title. So from there, you know, it looked pretty unlikely that it was going to turn into a song because, you know, Temple Beautiful doesn't rhyme with too much. No. But we squeezed one out.
Well, let's listen to that. Well, this is a title track to Chuck Prophet's latest release on Yep Rock Records. It's called Temple Beautiful. We'll be back in a second.
Oh,
Simple Beautiful, title track to Chuck Prophet's latest album. Chuck Prophet is right here in the KRVS studios. Yeah, that's a fun song. Now, I'm glad I know the backstory on that one. Now I see what it's all about. And you were just like riffing on the sort of a Chuck Berry lick. And yeah, I've forgotten. You just did a big Chuck Berry tribute. Was it a concert or a series of shows?
Well, it's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame American Masters program. Mm-hmm. And a tribute to Chuck Berry, a big concert with the. I played a couple songs. David Johansen was there, Earl Slick, Dave Alvin, Rick Derringer, J.D. McPherson, and some other heavies I can't think of right. Merle Haggard, Lemmy from Motorhead.
Oh, wow.
And Chuck Berry was there and in the end played, and it was a beautiful night.
He just had a big birthday, didn't
86,
he?
86.
Yeah, yeah. Did this happen on his birthday or just around that?
I believe it was just a couple days after his birthday.
Yeah, yeah. It was just a few days ago. I remember seeing that. So is anything going to be coming out? Was this recorded, documented in any sort of way?
I think it was, but I don't know. Happened? I mean, I guess everything's got to be documented these days, you know, or else it didn't happen. But I was there.
Yeah, and I remember it.
I got it here.
Great. Again, Chuck Prophet will be performing along with Alejandro Escovedo, longtime buddies. They'll be performing at Vermilionville's Performance Center tonight at 7 o'clock. Can we get you to do another tune?
Sure. Here's the one about a couple brothers by the name of the Mitchell Brothers. And if you grew up in San Francisco, they were kind of fixtures in the news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They ran a family establishment called the O'Farrell Theater on O'Farrell Street that Hunter S. Thompson, who was once the night manager, referred to as the Carnegie Hall of all sex clubs.
Wait, Hunter was the night manager there?
Yeah, he was the night manager there. And he called it the Carnegie Hall of all sex clubs. And these guys were sued like 400 times and never lost a case. They fought for your right to party, you know.
Right.
And,
didn't they do films as well? Didn't they?
Yeah, they pretty
films?
Much invented
the porn.
Yeah,
industry.
Yeah, with a movie I think called The Green Door.
Right.
And they said, I think art was one brother, the other brother is, I don't know, but he used to say, the only art in our films is my brother, art. <I don't know. laughs> But these guys, you know, I mean, we figured if Cain and Abel had gone into this business, you know, it would have been these two guys because things got out of hand and the cocaine and the lifestyle, and one brother ended up turning on the other brother and shooting and killing him.
Wait, wasn't there a movie about them?
I think so, yeah.
I can't remember.
I've avoided the movies because I don't think they were so great. But there's definitely been a couple books, and one brother ended up killing the other brother and spending the rest of his life in prison, you know. But I met somebody at a gig recently that told me that he brokered the sale of their yacht for their mom.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, the Mitchell Brothers, a couple characters, and we thought they deserved a song. It turned out to be really a song. We started about them, then it became a song about brothers. We started thinking about, Phil and Don Everly and Phil and Dave Alvin and on the other side of the pond, Ray and Dave Davies and Liam and his brother there and Oasis. And,
right.
And it just became a song about brothers. So it's called The Left Hand, The Right Hand. It goes a little something like this. Left hand and the right hand shared a cigarette. They were seen together everywhere they went. And when you passed them on the street, they always took the time to wave hello. They stood up for each other the way true brothers do. When the left hand lost the thumb, the right cut his off too. But no one could harmonize the way those brothers did. No. Don't tell me you don't want my love. Don't tell me you don't need my love. Don't tell me you don't want my love. Don't tell me you don't need my love. Left hand and the right hand, they grew apart. One day it was separate checks, the next day bodyguards. And the years flew by like birds of prey. Not a single word between those two. tell me you don't want my love. Don't tell me you don't need my love. Don't tell me you don't want my love. Don't tell me you don't need my love. Tell me you don't want my love. Together, still at each other's throats, breaking strings and dropping beats, singing all of the wrong notes. Oh, but no one can harmonize the way those brothers do. No. Don't tell me you don't want my love. Don't tell me you don't need my love. Don't tell me you don't want my love. Don't tell me you don't need my love. Don't tell me you don't want my love. Don't tell me you don't need my love. Tell me you don't want my love.
Chuck Prophet, tell you, one of the great singer-songwriters out there today. Man, I'm so glad you were able to make it to the program this morning. Always wanted to meet you and just excited about the show this evening.
Well, again, me too. Yeah, I'm happy to be in Lafayette, and I've been enjoying myself, and I'm looking forward to...
Were you here last night?
I got in last night, and we got to eat at Charlie's...
Charlie G's?
Yeah.
So I was about to ask.
The secret's out now.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was wondering if you ate the food, man.
Yeah, it was a treat. Yeah.
Well, there'll probably be some good food in Vermilionville this evening, too. So you get some good old Cajun home cooking.
I'm ready.
All right.
Bring it on.
Well, we're looking forward to the show tonight. Once again, it's Chuck Prophet opening up for Alejandro Escovedo. Again, that's at Vermilionville's Performance Center. Kicks off at 7 o'clock. A few tickets available. Check out the website, vermilionville.org. We're going to close out this session by going with the song that you probably hear the most here on the Caravan as of late by Chuck. This is Play That Song Again. Again, the opening track from Temple Beautiful. Chuck, thanks so much for coming by, man.
Thanks for having me.
Now she gone. Rebecca got a nasty streak 7 miles long. Hey! Rebecca said, don't ask me why, you wouldn't understand. My mother came from Omaha, my father Vietnam. Put your hands together, now pull your hands apart. I said, play that song again. Oh, oh, oh,
Chuck Prophet, play that song again here on the Medicine Ball Caravan. We've got a new tune by Ben Harper. He's got an album coming out. What will it be called? It will be called Get Up. I don't have an exact release date on that, but it's coming out on Stax Records. And this particular track features none other than blues legend Charlie Musselwhite. This is Ben Harper and Charlie Musselwhite with I Don't Believe a Word You Say.
I don't believe a word you say.
Creedence, Clearwater Revival, and Commotion. Looks like everybody around here said, what was that song? Yeah, that's the one song that I never hear classic rock stations play over and over again by CCR. That's right, Commotion. And before that, Ben Harper, along with Charlie Musselwhite, with a new tune called I Don't Believe a Word You Say. And I tell you what, we've also got a pair. I forgot to give away a pair. I've got a Chuck Prophet CD, Temple Beautiful, a copy of Temple Beautiful, along with a copy of Alejandro Escovedo's Big Station CDs. If you still play CDs, I'll give it away to caller number 3 here at the studio line, 482-6991. That's 337-482-6991. We'll give away a pair of tickets, again, to Chuck Prophet's latest and Alejandro Escovedo, again, both performing this evening at Vermilionville's Performance Center. The number is 482-6991. I'll give it away to caller number 3, again, at 482-6991. We do have a winner. Thanks so much to Chuck Prophet for dropping by. Medicine Ball Caravan was produced live in Cypress Lake Studios here on the campus of the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, who join you in support of this station. I'm Cecil Doyle. Thanks so much for tuning in. Come on back. We'll do it again tomorrow.